Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose.
Hey. We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully. Make sure to go out there and mortgage confidently. You've got Mikey B and Pete the Body. Mike and Pete across the way. Bogus sitting in with me. It's also got updates as we have another hour left to play with, going right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. We got action-packed final hour. Darryl Ryder is going to join us. 92.3 The Fan, Browns insider. We'll talk about everything surrounding Condoleezza Rice and that rumor that came down on Sunday. And Ben Lieber.
And well, I should say before you move off this, so like in the daily kind of rundown email that Mike sends, I see guest Darryl, R-U-I-T-R, then in parentheses, writer, 92.3 The Fan, Browns insider, and I thought Mike was giving me his job, not the phonetic saying of his last name. I'm like, oh, okay, he's a writer. Good. That's a good guess.
Right.
And then,
I did initially get thrown off, but then I connected the dots.
Yeah.
Yes, but I'm with you. Ben Lieber is going to also join Andrew and myself, Fox Sports college football NFL analyst, former linebacker in the National Football League for the Minnesota Vikings. He'll join us to close out the show. Top of the third hour. Let's get to it. The three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Rams outlast the Chiefs 54-51 in Monday Night Football thriller.
What a game. Now, it's not going to be old school football because it's 54-51 bogus, 105 points, over 1,000 yards of total offense, highest scoring Monday Night Football game ever, electricity in the air. Game lived up to the billing. We both expected, when we chatted about this game yesterday, both expected a lot of offense, got 105 points. We both thought maybe it could come down to the team with the last possession last, didn't play out that way. The differential in turnovers, Mahomes turned the football over five times. Three interceptions, two lost fumbles. He did throw six touchdown passes, a Monday Night Football record. But the Rams were just a little bit more efficient than Kansas City, who suffered their second loss of the year. The Rams now in their second highlight game of the season, one down in New Orleans. They lost this one at home against Kansas City after the game got moved from Mexico City. They were victorious. It was fun. It lasted a long. It went well into the night on the East Coast. There's no question about that. But it was a really, really entertaining football game.
I mean, it was better than expected. I mean, there are times where high scoring games can get like ridiculously high scoring.
Yeah,
I thought that was entertaining from start to finish. There were defensive touchdowns. There was the occasional defensive play. Just how good all of this offensive talent is. Was fun to watch. Again, I don't know that I could physically handle it every single week, but if you get one of these games like every 6 weeks, I'll sign up for that.
I'd sign up for it. Caller brought it up. I'd love to see this. I think it was a caller. Maybe you mentioned it, Andrew. Love to see this matchup every year.
Once a year.
It would be great. I mean, it'd be great for the NFL, great for the NFL brand. It's really 2018 football. Lack of defense. Defense making a couple plays here or there, and they did, generating turnovers. But both offenses having their way, moving the ball up and down the field. And what made it impressive, a couple things that impressed me. Number one, from a Rams perspective, you know, they did it without the hammer in the running game. It was step back and throw the football and put it in the hands and the arm of Jared Goff. They did not play keep away. They said, all right, let's go mano a mano, your passing attack against our passing attack, and let's see who could be the more efficient over the course of the night. So Gurley, who looked like he was dealing with a little bit of a hamstring issue, was getting stretched out on the sideline, bogus. It was not a case of their game like they had in Denver, where he ran for over 200 yards. I'd also say this. There were a couple points in this game where I thought maybe the Chiefs were a broken team. Down 40-30 second half. down 13-0 early on, and their ability to not only rally back and take the lead showed you the fight of this team. Now they've got to play cleaner, but those are the things I come away with out of this game last night.
Yeah, you loved the Chiefs in defeat here last night.
I did.
I mean, they were both impressive, but they still just, I have the same fears about both of them, the same love for both of them as we move forward. I think that the big thing is the Gurley thing. Maybe that's a different dimension. Maybe that we should like the Rams that much better that they scored. Well, how many defensive touchdowns did they score last night? Two.
Two.
So they scored 40 points as an offense
without Gurley.
Without Gurley.
Yeah. That's a good point, too.
I mean, and he had only 94 scrimmage yards. So, I mean, for Gurley, it was an under Todd Gurley-level performance, and they still basically went up and down the field.
They did. You're right about that. That's one we didn't point out earlier in the show, and I think that's a hell of a take. I look at Kansas City where they lose a game by three, and they were minus three in turnover differential. It says a lot about a team, no?
I mean, they
turn the football over. Now, you could say, well, they got to stop turning the football over.
Right.
And that's true. You're right about that, and you pointed that earlier on, and that's a fair point. Now, they've had two huge games this year. Up in Foxborough, they turned the football over. Out in Los Angeles last night, they turned the football over. So, Mahomes, as brilliant of a young signal caller he is, he's got to do a lot better job taking care of the football. All fair.
That's my problem, that we've seen this already. Again, this is an extreme nitpick, like I said, now are number one. But to me, the two best teams they've played in true road games, but the two best teams that they've played, they've turned the ball over too much and been flat outscored, which would, again, be my fear for them in the postseason when they could be seeing at least one of those teams again.
Now let's hear from the winners first. Here's McVay on the victory.
What a great football game tonight in terms of just the competitive nature of the game. Guys responding back and forth all three phases, special teams, offense, defense. You have so much respect for Coach Reed and the Chiefs. You see why they're one of the best teams in football. But I thought our guys did an outstanding job together tonight, just sticking together, staying connected, not letting the circumstances dictate the way that we responded, and finding a way to get a big win, and it'll certainly make our bye a little bit more enjoyable, and then we'll come back ready to go for the last stretch of the season.
Yeah, how about Jared Goff? He had four passing touchdowns, five in total. Here he is, the Rams star quarterback.
That was a crazy game. Crazy game, and it seemed like at the end, whoever had the ball last was going to win. That's what it felt like. And ultimately, our defense had two turnovers there at the end that proved to be the winning turnovers. And it was back and forth the whole game. It was you know, at the times where we felt like we had all the momentum. We thought we were going to put the knife in them and finish it. And then there was times where, you know, it was the other way around. We're like, all right, we need to kind of claw back into this. And it was fun.
All right. How about from a Chief perspective, Andy Reid?
It's a great experience. Two heavyweights going against each other. You obviously can't give up 21 points when you're in a game like this. And we did that on turnovers. We got to take care of the football. On the other hand, we also created some turnovers and points there. So, but too many penalties. A lot of penalties in that first quarter. I don't know about all those, but they called them, and so we were going backwards when we need to go forward.
Yeah, and for their quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, the young star, MVP candidate in the National Football League, there was good and bad last night.
In little things, I mean, every single game, you leave plays out there where you think you can hit. But, yeah, I mean, you said it, the turnovers changed the game. I think I gave them 21 points pretty much through turnovers. And just kind of like I said at the New England game, you can't give good teams points turning the ball over. So that was pretty much the changing point of the game. I mean, it sucks right now. I mean, this plain and simple. I mean, you wanted to win that game going into the bye week against a good team like that, a playoff team. But at the same time, we still control our own destiny. If we can go out there and win football games after the bye week, it's kind of like that reset, get your body right, and come back with that mentality that we're going to win.
Yeah, Rams and Chiefs, last two teams with bye weeks in the National Football League, and well-deserved following that performance last night.
How about just having Thanksgiving weekend off? It's like, see you guys on Monday. What a bonus. This is the way to have it.
Yeah, good for them. Good for them. All right.
Number two.
Report Wizards fine John Wall for shouting expletive at Coach Brooks during practice.
Yeah, how about this?
If you missed it, here's what he said.
You can't really say it. So Scott Brooks implores his team during practice about effort.
Yeah, I think Jeff Green, too, right? Uncle Jeff Green was in there yelling at Wizards, too.
And Wall turns to him and basically says, blank off.
That's kind of like Andy Reid on Jared Goff last
night. Is the head coach of the team.
Yeah.
And then he quickly apologizes to Brooks. This report comes after the Woj story that everybody and anybody is available for the Washington Wizards. The only guy that I'd want would probably be Beal. I don't know if I'd want to ever touch John Wall and his attitude. They've got issues down there.
On top of his attitude, his contract becomes ridiculous. Oh. Is it Mike, CBS Sports Radio, Taz the Moose, NBA insider Mike Buscegli joins us now on the guest line.
Is that on his card?
Mike, his contract is what? When?
Next season, it's $38
million. And then what?
It gets up to 47.
At 47, and again, this is all funny money because it almost doesn't matter. It doesn't count. It's not real. But who's taking $47 million of John Wall?
Nobody. Oh. Nobody. I'd want Beal. That'd be the only guy I'd want. But the Wizards are another complete disaster.
This just in, John Wall working out for the Redskins at quarterback later this week, just in case.
You can check out that argument on our podcast.
I would take Otto Porter, by the way.
Radio.com, Apple Podcast, each and every day. We appreciate it.
I'm a big Otto Porter guy.
I like Porter. Upside guy. I think Beal is a solution. You had Beal in today's day and age, could shoot it as long as he could stay healthy. I really like Bradley Beal as a player. Wall's a headache.
Well, I also like, now I think Beal yelled at whichever Grunfeld is their GM in Washington. So
Ernie.
So I don't know that yelling at your superior is a good idea either. But
that's
at least,
a good point.
But he's apparently was yelling, I think, in the positive of Jeff Green and Scott Brooks. He's tired of all the nonsense from John Wall in particular. So I think I like that about Bradley Beal. I just don't think he should yell, I've been dealing with this, you know what, for 7 years now at his GM.
What
I mean,
it
really is. I mean, Marcin Gortat is where, Mike, because of all this? Because he aged John Wall?
He's the Clippers.
The Clippers. Because he aged John Wall.
Yes.
Yeah, but let's give Johnny lots of money.
We'll see exactly. Buscegli, you're our basketball savant. Do you think Wall gets traded?
I think he's unmovable.
Do you think Beal gets traded?
I think Beal can be moved, yeah. And I think a lot of teams would be interested in that.
If I were the Knicks, I'd go get Beal.
Oh, you've got Mikey B's head turning right now.
I'd go get Beal. If I were the Knicks...
Now, the Mikey B's Nets tricked the Wizards into matching a huge offer sheet for Otto Porter, but I'm assuming it's obviously he still can be traded.
Yeah, they gave him a poison pill contract, but he could still be moved. He only has three years left on the deal.
All right, there you go. So we'll see how it all plays out. Look at Buscegli's just all over it. You should have your own podcast on basketball.
Yeah, it's not doing well.
Number three.
Like the rest of
Les Miles' all-time brain fart at Kansas press conference.
Yeah, so we discussed Les Miles. We had Tommy Bowden on yesterday. And Tommy and myself, Bogish, we all not questioned the hire by Kansas. Just said, well, if you're going to bring in a guy in his mid-60s to now resurrect the Kansas Jayhawk football program, there needs to be an adjustment to him offensively. It can't be about what he was doing at LSU, which was defense. He even saw that adjustment at Alabama. He said, well, he can't continue to win games 9-6 or 12-10 or 13-6. You need to get in today's day and age, they start bringing in better offensive minds. So we'll see if Les Miles maybe sees it and brings in kind of modern college football offense to the Kansas Jayhawks. Now, Les yesterday got introduced as Jayhawk head coach and was asked about his team and his goals moving forward. Take a listen.
The style of football that we'll play, the community recognition of our players will grow. The opportunity to get out and do community enhancement and be involved with the many.
Hello? Someone step in. Help him. Help him.
Thanks.
This is an offensive meeting.
A little, heartfelt here.
Which means nothing.
What does that mean? I'm a little heartfelt here. Can the PR guy give him a little bit of a life preserver there? Help him out?
Hit the reset button?
I mean,
we troll the many.
That was like 20 seconds where he was trying to find where he was going, his train of thought. He completely lost his train of thought.
it's actually worse to watch it, too.
Thanks.
Because he's, like, frozen.
Hello?
He is.
It's like somebody's going to throw water in his face or, like, snap some fingers. But no, he's here comes offensive innovation.
What about if you're a Jayhawk fan and you're sitting there watching this presser, a guy that's supposed to resurrect your program, change Jayhawk football, get him back to some sort of relevancy, and he's having trouble getting out answers to questions about what his team is going to be?
Imagine the question was like, Les, you know, the knock on you right now is that maybe you need to be a little more open-minded, a little more up-tempo, more modern offensively. What are your thoughts? I think that scoring, I think that's a good thought, like that we should definitely try to score more of those six-pointers.
Things.
Sorry, I'm a little heartfelt right now.
Thanks. It's so uncomfortable to watch and listen to that you just wish you could be there to help him.
Well, it almost gets to the point where it's like scary, sad. That's like, why isn't your brain working? Like, come on. You're not 25 right. anymore. You're a little, these, 60 something? Like, you're like, come on.
It should be pretty sharp.
You need a nap?
This is an introductory press conference.
Yeah,
it's Jayhawk football. They've been a doormat. Not much is expected. This is your time to shine.
Well, and like, it began reassuringly for me because I forgot that he had dyed his hair. But he dyed his hair, so I'm thinking, okay, listen, he's aware now of the things around him. He cares about looking fresh and young and being modern. Maybe he wants, he'll dye his offense, so to speak. He'll dye the hair of his bland offense. He got a little gray, a little salt and pepper in LSU. Maybe he'll go and get it dyed to a nice new hip color and let things roll with the Jayhawks. And then he just disappears into the ether while discussing whatever.
Speaking of dyeing hair, right? So this past Sunday, I'm doing a show at a remote Reds, right? That's in the tri-state area.
Former Giant, fill in the blank.
David Deal. Right? So, and this is, Reds is like a hangout Giant Jet bar right before the Giants or Jets play a home game. It's like 15 minutes away from MetLife Stadium for those that are not in the greater tri-state area.
It's often lit.
It is. It's lit.
On Sundays.
Well, that's FanDuel Sportsbook is lit. Anyway.
Oh, right. Excuse me.
So we go, so a guy and father and son come up to me during one of the breaks, and they go, big fan, love listening to you, huge fan of the, do a great job, this and that, asking me about questions about SNY, the fan, great. It was very, very complimentary, very nice. As I said, really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. The guy goes, do you dye your hair? The son, I go, what?
Did you punch him?
I go, no. He goes, oh, it's a little lighter on top. I go, well, because my hair is like gets blonde in the summer. I go, it's gray on the side. I go, no, I'm not dyeing my hair. But who asks somebody a question? Like, I would never go up to somebody I just met and be like, dye your hair.
I wouldn't ask somebody that I've known my entire life, like short of my dad or my brother.
Like, it was just, but I was taken back. So, like, I was like,
no, I'm with you.
I don't dye my hair.
You should have had Deal run him over or something. A little pancake block in the middle of Reds. Like, we don't talk about Moose's hair.
Deal's got my back.
Moose's hair is perfect.
If I said that, Deal would have basically dropped to the floor. It was a nice guy. They were very, very nice. Nice to Deal. They were great. It was just one of the strangest questions I've ever heard.
Yeah, and Moose's
hair. Somebody I just met.
Right, stranger.
Like a complete and utter stranger. I just met you.
And he buttered you up, too. He's like, man, I love Daily News Live. Sports Night's great.
Do you dye your hair?
Yeah, JJ and Sal Okada. What are they talking about? You're always right. By the way, you dye your hair?
Might as well ask you if you wear a hairpiece.
Is that real?
I go, no, I don't dye my hair.
See, I think the play in those situations is to ask a question like that about somebody else. Like, if you thought somebody else was dyeing their hair or had a bad rug, be like,
yeah.
Hey, you know, Moose, you're great, blah, blah, blah. Gary Apple, is that, is that? That question you can ask. You can't directly ask you a question.
It's amazing. People have no fear of saying anything or asking me anything.
And of your old things, your hair. It's the best thing you got. It's the opposite of your house, that's for sure.
Thanks, Andrew. I'm just starting to feel good about myself. I mean, honestly.
I love your hair. I'm jealous of your hair.
Darryl Ryder, 92.3 The Fan, Browns Insider, is going to join Bogish and myself next as we roll right along here on this Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Listen to CBS Sports Radio on Sirius XM, Sirius XM 206. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It is Bogish and Malusis with you here on this Tuesday morning. Darryl Ryder is going to join us here momentarily. A final update of the morning for Andrew. Take it away, bud.
Moose, this update is brought to us by the YMCA. The YMCA committed to opportunities for all and the belief that no one should be defined by the zip code they're born into. Support your local Y at ymca.net/forabetterus. In a game with 105 points and 1,001 yards, there was some defense played in L.A. last night.
The throw flat-footed is picked. Right side, Samson Abelcom. The 10, the 5. Abelcom runs over Mahomes for his second defensive touchdown of the night.
J.B. Long on Rams radio. Samson Abelcom also returned a fumble for points on Monday Night Football. That pick six gave L.A. a 40-30 lead on KC late third quarter, but the Chiefs rallied to lead 44-40, then 51-47 in the fourth. But then Jared Goff and Gerald Everett hooked up for a 40-yard score and a 54-51 Rams win. Goff, four touchdown passes and one on the ground.
We thought we were, you know, one drive away from kind of putting it away and getting enough of a lead, and then they would make plays and get back in it, and then, you know, they were in the lead in the fourth quarter, and we were like, all right, like, time to respond on our side, and we did. We made the plays.
The combined points are the third most in NFL history, the most ever on Monday night. Patrick Mahomes, six more touchdown passes, but also three picks and two lost fumbles. His team has now scored 91 points in its two losses. Jets QB Sam Darnold is out of his walking boot, but head coach Todd Bowles won't discuss Darnold playing Sunday against the Pats just yet. Darnold did not practice yesterday, and Packers tight end Jimmy Graham plans on playing Sunday against the Vikings despite his broken thumb. The last time we saw Kemba Walker, he was scoring 60 over the weekend. He was almost as productive last night.
Kemba's got it now in his hand. Screen from Cody. Wants another three ball. Give it to him. Why not? 109, 104. Kemba has got 39 points. You're keeping track at home. He's got 99 over the last two games.
Chris Kroger on Hornets Radio. Walker added four more points for 43 last night, 103 over his last two games. Charlotte beating Boston 117-112. And finally, the St. Louis Blues shut out by the Kings last night 2-0. Then they fired head coach Mike Yeo. Moose?
All right, one of the strangest reports that we've seen in quite some time came down on Sunday, and that the fact that Condoleezza Rice, the Browns were interested in speaking with her about their head coaching vacancy, quickly then rebuffed by both Rice and the Cleveland Browns. Let's welcome aboard right now Darryl Ryder, 92.3 The Fan, a Browns insider. Hey, Darryl, Andrew and Mark with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
No, Darryl, it's so asinine. It is so out there. How exactly does this report get out? Even if it got thrown out in some meaning, how does this possibly get into the hands of Adam Schefter?
Well, Schefter didn't make it up. He didn't get to where he is.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying who in the Browns organization thought that maybe throwing Condoleezza Rice out as a possibility would be a good idea?
Yeah, well, that's the million-dollar question, and it's a very good one because on the bye week for about the 20th straight year, the Browns took a loss with another absurd story that comes out while the team isn't even playing a game. You know, it's one thing if she was qualified for the job. You know, John Dorsey made an off-the-cuff comment last week during a press conference and talking about the coaching search. When he said, you know, we're going to look for everyone. We'll even look at women. One of the reporters cackled, and then he said, I'm serious. You know, I'm not joking around. And he happened to look at Mary Kay Cabot, who's the outstanding beat writer for Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer here in town, as he was, you know, trying to, you know, make his point. And the point was basically, we'll talk to anyone and everyone to find the right person. I don't think that necessarily he meant that they were going to actually interview a woman, because there is no up-and-coming female assistant in the NFL right now. And I quite honestly believe that that report does a disservice to any woman that is trying to make a name for herself in the sport of football and is interested in working her way up the coaching ranks. When you talk about, we'll interview someone that's, quite frankly, not even qualified for the job.
What are the names that are kind of most popular right now in and around the city among the fan base that people might want to see actually get this job, Darryl?
Well, you know, Lincoln Riley, obviously, because he coached Baker Mayfield in college, he is someone that everyone wants to talk about. Matt Campbell at Iowa State is another popular name. He could very well end up in Columbus, Ohio, replacing Urban Meyer if there is a change there. People are keeping an eye on the Baltimore Ravens situation with John Harbaugh right now. Same thing with Green Bay and Mike McCarthy. This is going to be an extensive, exhaustive search, but I also anticipate that the Browns will move very quickly once their season wraps up on December 30th.
You know, Darryl, do you think talking with everybody, but do you think ultimately the goal is putting somebody that has the development of Baker Mayfield at the top of the priority list, the guy that can help him do that is at the top of the list?
Absolutely, and that's part of the reason why Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley are no longer with the organization. They were not going to allow a dispute between coaches to get in the way of what they're trying to accomplish, and that is win football games and develop Baker Mayfield. And I happened to, you know, mention it yesterday in one of my stories that's, you know, priority number one for Greg Williams at this point. You know, Greg will get the interview with John Dorsey and the organization for the full-time job. I don't think he has any realistic chance of actually getting it, but they will give him the respect of giving him an interview. But, Baker Mayfield's development is one of his top priorities as the interim coach. And we've seen that over the last, 4 to 5 weeks. Baker Mayfield's completion percentage has shot up. It's like 69%. His touchdown to interception ratio is outstanding at 9-2. He's taking a lot fewer sacks than he was a couple of weeks ago as well. So you're seeing very encouraging signs from Baker Mayfield. And I think a big part of that has to deal with the fact that new offensive coordinator Freddie Kitchens is putting him in a much, much better position to be successful.
Darryl, I'm glad you mentioned the Hugh Jackson, Todd Haley issues. Maybe I missed this explanation or we never actually got one, but how did they come together in the first place, since it seems like they were not on the same page from the preseason, from the summer, through Hard Knocks? Why was Todd on the staff to begin with that would have immediately led to the issues between the two men?
Because this is what happens when you're trying to save your job, which Hugh Jackson was since January. He knew after going 1-31 and getting that third year commitment from ownership that he had to do everything he could to extend his stay, if you will, beyond the 3 years, which meant he needed to start winning football games. And when Todd Haley became available, he felt that, you know, Haley could come in spite of his personality and reputation for not getting along with people or not working well with people, that he would come in and provide some credibility that Hugh Jackson had completely blown in 2 years here. And then also at the same time, the experience within the division and the success that he had as the offensive coordinator with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, granted, Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell were not particularly on this roster, but there was some offensive talent here. There is offensive talent here, I should say, based off of, you know, what general manager John Dorsey was able to do. But, you know, I think it's one of those Brownsian things. You can see the train wreck coming. Everybody can see it, except for the Cleveland Browns. It's astonishing how predictable this franchise is when it comes to just the ridiculous and stupidity that seems to occur and hover over this team. We can all see it, but they can't. And it's, like I said, you shake your head in dismay.
Although I guess I was, like everybody else, caught off guard by this Condoleezza Rice story over the weekend, but in particular because, like, the week before, I feel like people were trying to give the Browns credit for letting John Dorsey be in charge of this search. I didn't necessarily believe that Jimmy Haslam was going to stay out of it 100%, but Everyone's like, oh, so John will do this right. And then the very next news story about the search is Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah, this franchise does they defy explanation. That's how incompetent they are. They really are. I mean, it's the worst run organization in professional sports, and they finally seem to have fixed one critical area, and that was the talent acquisition phase of things by bringing in John Dorsey, who then brought in Alonzo Highsmith and Elliot Wolf from Green Bay. And they've got a very good personnel department right now, and it shows by when you watch the team. You can see the infusion of talent on the roster. Granted, the record hasn't exactly reflected that at 3-6-1. It's very hard to tell people, this team is very improved, they're very close, et cetera. But the reality is they are. They need some more depth, and they just need a little more talent. And that just takes some time. And I still think they need a peacekeeper in the building. They need, because ever since the Haslams took over and the way they structure the organization, everybody answers to them, which means everyone's constantly trying to kiss up to them and be in their good graces and tell them how great they are at their job and how everyone else thinks at their job. And that's why the team isn't any good. And, that's John Dorsey's a scout at heart. That he is a talent evaluator. That's what he does best. And that's fine. He can still be the general manager. You can keep your personnel department structured the way it is. But having the head coach and the GM report directly to the Haslams is just a disaster waiting to happen. And the next coach going to happen is, and I'm going to predict it, the next coach will be hired, and he'll complain about the talent that there is, and there isn't enough talent, et cetera. And then the Haslams will go to the GM, and the GM will say, well, we got plenty of talent problems here. Show you the film. The coaching isn't that good. And then we have the same vicious cycle all over again. Now, if Condoleezza Rice's name happened to pop up because she's being considered for a president-type role or president of football operations-type role, I think that that'd be a perfect situation for her. I've mentioned Amy Trask over the years. I think she'd be great for that, even though I don't think Amy has any interest in having anything to do with the Browns. But they need a buffer between the general manager, the head coach, and ownership, or else the same problems that we've watched since the Haslams bought this team in 2012 are just going to keep repeating themselves over and over and over again. And once again, John Dorsey can't worry about anything other than talent acquisition. It's not his job, to be a peacekeeper and be the go-between and all those type of things. But it's the same vicious cycle of just inexplicable stupidity that surrounds the Cleveland Browns in this franchise since the Haslams have owned it, and I just quite frankly don't see it changing anytime soon.
Well, Darryl, happy Thanksgiving on that note.
Thank you, guys.
Be thankful.
92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Darryl Ryder. Hey, Darryl, we appreciate it. All right, brother, enjoy your Tuesday.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Ben Lieber is going to join Andrew and myself next. I'll talk a little college, talk a little NFL. That comes your way. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all right now at geico.com. Let's welcome aboard right now Ben Lieber, Fox Sports college football and NFL analyst. Hey, Ben, Andrew Bogish, Mark Malus is with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
No problem, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Ben. Looking ahead to Thanksgiving, man. So that's always a good time. But how about yourself? All right?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Just looking forward to Thanksgiving as well, although I don't get to spend much Thanksgiving because I got to hit the road and I got a game Friday at Iowa. No real Thanksgiving for me.
No rest for the weary, Ben. Let's stay, stick in your neck of the woods. You're very familiar, obviously. You look at the Minnesota Vikings and where they are. The expectations coming into the year, Ben, and where the Saints are, where the Rams are. A lot of people thought maybe not doing it in the style and fashion which they do it. But a lot of people thought that the Minnesota Vikings were going to be on that level as we approach Week 12. Do you think everyone overplayed the hands of the Minnesota Vikings this year?
No, you know, maybe a little bit. I think they kind of forget that, the offensive line, even going into the season, wasn't, they weren't world beaters. They were good last year. I think they kind of exceeded some expectations. And then you think, well, they got John DeFilippo coming over from Philadelphia. All of a sudden, they think that it's automatically going to look just like Philly did last year, along with Kirk Cousins. So I understand that there was a lot of good pieces and a lot of reasons why, but you also have to take in consideration, like, you have to make it gel and you have to make it work. And I think the offensive line has been just way too inconsistent. Not having Dalvin Cook for majority of the season has really hurt this offense because he can be a very dynamic player. And I think not having, a third wide receiver that they can really count on too, when you look at the scope of how offenses are these days, you need a complement of receivers, not just one or two guys. So offensively, I feel like there were some pieces there, but they just haven't put everything together. And then defensively, that was the star of the whole team. And they get beat by the Bills, and they get whooped up on a little bit by the Rams, and they sort of had to refocus themselves and had to deal with some injuries. So it's just been a lot. It's been a lot to deal with. They still have a great chance here, the next few games to, take control of their destiny and have a huge showdown with Chicago at the end of the season.
Well, and Ben, that's what we were kind of discussing yesterday, coming off of Sunday Night Football, saying, the Bears win again, then you've got the Saints and the Rams at the top of the NFC, and wondering if there was any kind of surge here in the Vikings to make the 5-4-1 record look better, to get back in the top of the NFC North and look like the Vikings that we thought they were going to be when the year began. But the things that you just kind of ran through sound like things that aren't going to change. So I wonder where, your confidence level is on them finding, three or four wins in a row here down the stretch.
Well, the way I kind of look at it, they got beat up physically on the offensive line against the Bears. I mean, that Bears defense, I know everybody wants to concentrate on Khalil Mack, but, with Goldman and Hicks, those guys up front on the inside, those guys are monsters, man. They are huge and physical and athletic. So I look at how that team is built, and I don't think the Packers are built like that. I don't think the Patriots are built like that. I don't think when they go on the road to Seattle on Monday Night Football, I don't think they're built like that either. So I think they're, at least in the next three games, there's a great chance, and then they got Miami after that and then Chicago again, but I think there's a great chance to sort of get right against some of these teams that you look on paper and it's like, well, you got to go to the Patriots. It's the Patriots, right? Well, like, yeah, but I don't think the defense is all that great. And same thing with Seattle. It is on the road and it's a name, it's a brand name, and it seems like it's going to be a much tougher out. But I think that they actually stack up pretty well against them when you start looking at the X's and O's. So I think there is room for optimism. As bad as they played, they were still in it in the game in Chicago. And that's a place that typically don't play well in. And given all the mistakes, they still had a chance at the end of the game.
Ben, I want to ask you a couple college questions. Number one, Michigan and Ohio State. A lot of people, I heard Brady in an interview yesterday locally up in Boston saying this is our year, obviously being a former Wolverine. What about this Buckeye team coming off the death struggle of a victory against Maryland last week, and you look at the Michigan team, if there's any year that this Ohio State team looks ripe for the picking, even with the game being in Columbus, this looks like the year.
No, I agree. When I watch Ohio State the last couple of games, they just don't seem like the same team. I really question that defense, as well as Haskins played. I guess you wouldn't say he played really well last week. The week prior, he did not play very well at all. They just seem out of sorts, and they don't seem as physical. They all of a sudden don't seem as athletic, and they have all the same pieces. And I think we all agree that there's a ton of talent there. But surprise, surprise, I'm a defensive guy, and I do think that you know, defense still matters as much as people loved that game last night in the NFL. I think down the stretch, the better teams play really good defense, and that to me is Michigan. And I just think that they're going to go into Columbus, and you know, it's going to be a tough game because they always are.
Yep.
But I think they're just the more of the complete team. And Ohio State seems like they're fractured and broken a little bit in spirit. And I think Michigan's going to go in there and beat them.
Ben, do you think that this is the end or near the end for
Urban Meyer?
Yeah, Urban Meyer. I was going to say I felt like Les Miles yesterday. Is this the end for Urban Meyer?
I don't know. It sounds like I've been hearing and reading some rumors about that as well, and it's kind of hard to believe that it would be how fast he's fallen. And I get it because of all the legal and the PR stuff that happened, and you know all the things that happened off the field. But you know, it sounds like he's verbally talking about how his headaches are coming back, and the arachnoid cyst in his brain is maybe not performing the way he wants it to, and so I think that there's already some things being laid out that if he did step away, he could easily say, like, well, it's not because of on the field performance, you know, my health issues have come back, and all this stuff. So it's almost like they're already prepping everybody for that, and again, just the way the team is playing, it seems like he may have lost the team, at least for this year. So it would not surprise me if he had stepped out.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at it. I mean, there's so much at play here. You know, Ben, when you look at overall, though, I mean, it's Alabama. We had Tommy Bowden, Andrew and I on yesterday, and we asked him biggest threat to Alabama. He thinks it's Clemson. Do you agree? You think it's Dabo Swinney's team you think is the biggest threat to Saban in Alabama this year?
I think so. You know, you need to match. Now you need to match the offensive firepower that Alabama has, and I think that Clemson can do that. Clemson's probably the most complete team to me as well. And I wouldn't, you know, listen. I think Notre Dame is playing complete football as well too. I mean, they can physically beat you up front defensively. They can put some points on the board when they need to. They played in some tough environments, and I feel like they're mentally tough enough to handle college playoff scenario. But yeah, I think just because of their rivalry and the last few games they've played, you know, I think Clemson is the most likely team to knock them off. You know, unfortunately, I think everybody wants a ton of chaos at the end of the year, and I would just love to see it too. But I look at the top four teams, and I don't think that Alabama is going to lose this weekend to Auburn. I certainly don't think Clemson is going to lose. They're not going to lose to Pitt in the championship game, and I don't think Notre Dame is going to go on the road and lose to USC. That team just looks, you know, awful at times. So I think the top four pretty much stay the same the way they are, and there's not going to be much movement.
Unless Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC title game.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, if Michigan, you know, if they lose in the Big Ten championship game too, which would be crazy.
But if they all go, Georgia's the big curveball, Ben, that could, you know, throw Michigan out of the loop. But the other teams undefeated, they got to remain, no question.
Yes, yeah, hey, no question about it.
Hey Ben, we're flat out of time. We appreciate the time this morning. Have a happy Thanksgiving, you and your family. All right, and even though you're traveling and working, we appreciate it.
Yeah, you too, guys.
You
appreciate
got it, Ben. Thanks, Lieber, Ben. Fox Sports college football and NFL analyst. Wrapping up the program here on this Tuesday.
If we had more time, I'd ask him for the official K-State reaction to Les Miles. That's where he's from, so you get a little...
I know, we could have done that.
What the correct snark is for Les going to Lawrence.
I felt bad for Les yesterday. It was a good show, though, today. It was.
I thought so.
Nice job.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Mikey B, happy Thanksgiving. You're off tomorrow. Pete, we'll see you tomorrow. All right. Guys, enjoy your Tuesday, everybody. Keep it real. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.